Horses don't be doubtful.
The makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Purine and Pret Cooking Fat, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Maple Margarine, and Niblet's Cheese Twists present The Epic Casebook. In which Inspector Carr investigates.
Good evening. A few weeks ago, I went to a race meeting at Germiston, at which Jolly Drummer was the hot favorite for the main race. He was beaten by Uncle Ben from the Oppenheimer stable. Now, whenever this sort of thing happens, certain wiseacres will hint darkly of sinister goings-on and what have you. Well, as I went back with friends of mine, there is no doubt that Jolly Drummer finished the race somewhat lame. What some people fail to realize is that animals are like human beings. They have their off days just as we do. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that the sport of kings is entirely free from malpractice. Where there are great rewards to be won, there are certain to be persons of questionable character who will perpetrate every trickery under the sun in order to get a share of the pickings. Why all this? Well, I'm going to tell you of a leading racehorse owner who was found dead under circumstances that left no one in doubt that murder had been committed. I've called my story, Death is the Victor. I've already indicated my interest in the sport of kings, and although I was not a frequent racegoer in England, one annual event I looked forward to was a minor classic in the English racing calendar. It was the Thousand Guineas run at Sandown Park. The invitation used to come from one of the stewards, who was a friend of mine. His name was Ernest Giles. Well, what do you think of the favourite for the Guineas, Giles?
I like it very much. Can't understand it.
Can't understand what?
The favorite. A waste who was even money a week ago. That's 3-1. I think it's the Flowers horse.
I hope you're right. I backed it.
Well, we'll soon know. It's almost time for the off.
The white flag is up under the stuff quarters. They're coming into line now. It's a good line. No one's playing up. Don't be any trouble. And there goes the bell. The way to a flying start. Sublime showing when it's running. Followed by April Fool, Gay Wasteful, the favourite, the handy third in the central course. Just behind her is Insulated. Insulated making forward move. They've just beaten three furlongs. Insulated takes over. Great Mare is finding out really well. Gay Wasteful has moved up there too. Rachel Less seems to be in trouble. Rachel Less looks as though it won't take part in the race. Gay Wasteful has taken over. Just behind is Insulated. Still showing the way near the running. Insulated is finding out really well. Lover Boy has come on the scene.
Did you bag it?
I did. You rocked the bookmakers. I took 2-1 in one fine nose.
Well, don't let the money go to your head.
I won't.
I ought to go to the unsaddling and congratulate the owner. He's going to come with me.
That's so.
Congratulations, Scotty. Great win.
Oh, thank you, Bob. The Greek horse.
Meet my guest, Inspector Carr.
Oh, nice to meet you, Inspector. I've heard a great deal about you, of course.
Oh, congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Gay Wasteful is a great horse. I thought you'd all come in to join me in the celebration. Drinks after the last race?
Delighted.
Ah, here comes the owner of Insulated. Well done, Dawes, old boy. And a great race.
I thought I was going to beat you at one time, Scotty.
But you didn't, Dawes. Oh, by the way, Inspector Carr, meet Mr. Dawes.
Mr. Dawes?
Inspector. No, I've booked the Tudor room at Claridge's for a celebration tonight, and you're all invited.
Strangely precipitant under the circumstances.
Are you coming, Inspector?
Thank you. For something like 100 years, it has been traditional that the winner of the guineas should give a banquet for the officials and others connected with the race. First, I joined the others in a victory drink in the steward's room, and then left the course. There were one or two things to clear up at the yard before my plans to spend a weekend of leisure. As it transpired, my plans went awry. Car speaking.
Operations, yes, sir?
No, don't tell me. Look, I'm off for the weekend. My duty ends, or it will end, in about 3 minutes. I've just come back from the races.
Well, sir, a man has been found stabbed to death at the Percy Simpson Racing Stables.
Percy Simpson? What the...
Yes, sir, killed with a pitchfork, according to the local manor. A man called Scotty Bayliss.
But I was with him less than 2 hours ago. Ah, no peace for the wicked. You say stables. Are they near the course?
Well, sir, the call came through from Westerham. I've notified Dr. McPherson.
Right, get through to transport. Tell him to have a car waiting outside with a plan of how to get to the stable.
Roger.
It had been many years since I visited this small country town, which nestled at the foot of the hill known as the Widow. Very soon, we were driving through a gate which said, "Danger, horses exercising."
I expect a car.
Yes, that's right.
My name's Simpson. We've been told to expect you. It's all absolutely unbelievable.
Yes, I'm afraid murder always seems beyond the realms of reality. I understand that you found the body.
Well, it's all such a shock to see him lying there with a pitchfork in his back. Besides, he hadn't given me... I don't know what I'm going
but
to
I
do.
I realize this is a great shock to you, Mr. Simpson.
It's more than that, Inspector. Mr. Bayliss said that if he won the race, he'd give me the stake money. That's 1,000 guineas. And now I'm sorry if I sound so mercenary. We've been having a bad patch lately, and, well, I was banking on the money.
That's unfortunate. Is that the stable over there? Is that where the body was found?
Yes, there's a police doctor with the body.
Let's go over, shall we?
I know I shouldn't be talking about money with Mr. Bayliss lying there.
Hello, Doc.
Hello, Inspector.
Ah, is this where it happened, Mac?
I stabbed with a pitchfork from behind. Stabbed at least a dozen times. It's quite horrible. The print men have been here.
Any luck?
No, nothing at all. You no find any footprints in this turf.
And what about the time of his death?
It was pretty warm in that stable. I wouldn't like to hazard too close, I guess. I got here about half an hour ago. Let me see, that's 6:30. He's been dead about an hour. I would say that he was killed at 5:30 or thereabouts.
5:30, eh? I was having a drink with him at 3:00.
You were now. Were you at the races?
Yes, and I backed the poor chap's horse. Oh, well, let's take a look at him. I inspected the stable. It became obvious that instead of housing animals, it was more of a place of storage. There, I saw sacks of forage, harness, saddles, and the like, and the lifeless body of Scotty Bayliss. It was difficult to resist a feeling of compassion for the man who but a few hours ago achieved one of the most cherished ambitions, to become the winner of the guineas, and yet not live to receive the tributes of the weekend newspapers. Oh, dear. Sad, isn't it?
Hey. Well, with all the same to you, I'll go over to Western Station to arrange for the removal of the body. There's nothing more I can do here.
Okay, Mac. See you back at the yard.
Good day to you, Mr. Simpson.
Good day, Doctor. Have you got transport?
Aye, thank you. My car's at the other side of the stables.
All right, Mr. Simpson. I'm ready to take your statement. Oh, by the way, I saw you at the Ann Saddling, didn't I?
Yes, naturally.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's go from there, shall we? What did you do then?
Now, look here, Inspector, you don't think that I did it, do you?
Mr. Simpson, don't be alarmed. Everyone is suspect until we get to the killer. Now, after the unsettling of Gay Westall, what did you do?
I came back here.
Immediately?
Yes. Mr. Bayliss asked me if I'd like to join him in a drink, but I always make it a golden rule to put my horses in the horse box and take them back to the stable as soon as possible. But after the way she ran, I knew Gay Westall would become favorite, the Silver Challenge Cup.
Mm-hmm. And what time did you get back here?
Oh, about 3:00. It's only a 15-minute drive from the course. The race was over at 2:30.
Well, go on, and what happened?
Well, usual. Ted, that's one of the grooms who drove the horse box, helped me to stable the girl. I took my car and drove home.
What about the groom?
Well, he and his wife live in a cottage on my land.
Who's left behind?
No one. My house adjoins the stables. It's only 250 yards away. At 6 o'clock, I picked up Ted to feed the animals.
I see. Is that your car over there?
No, that belongs to Mr. Bayliss. I run that station wagon.
So it comes to this. The race was run at 2:15. The unsaddling took place about 2:30. You got back here by 3, stabled the animal, and left for home with your groom. Is that right?
Yes.
And you say that the last time you saw Mr. Bayliss alive is when the winner was being unsaddled.
I swear it.
Hmm. Can you prove that you left the race course soon after the race?
Yes. The traffic cop on duty at the gate is a regular. He'll remember me.
What I can't understand, Mr. Simpson, is this. Why should the killer lure his victim here? Why the stables? Tell me, what about your groom?
Ted, Inspector? Oh, never. Mr. Bayliss had been very generous to Ted. We've had many owners in these stables, Mr. Dawes, Mr. Gilby. None of them have been as generous as Mr. Bayliss. Why should he want to kill him?
Somebody did. All right, don't look so alarmed. I don't think it's you. But I have a sneaking suspicion who that somebody is. Having reassured the trainer of Gay Wastraw that he was not number one on the list of suspects, I asked him to show me the layout of the place. A survey made it clear that the stable grounds were completely shut off from view. They could not be seen from either the main house or the groom's cottage. I decided to have a word with Ernest Giles, my host at the races.
I'll help you all I can, Carr, but it won't be much.
How well did you know Bayliss? Did you know him very well?
I wouldn't say very well. I liked the man. Rarely met outside the race course.
Well, what I'm trying to find out is whether this murder is a gambling killing or not. All we know about Mr. Bayliss is that he's the owner of a fairly successful boot factory. He's a bachelor, and he owns half a dozen horses trained by Simpson.
In which case, you know as much as I do.
See. I understand that you, as the architect, were responsible for some of the extensions at Sandown.
Yes, I was.
Now, what I'm trying to find out is the possibility of going from Sandown Racecourse to Westrum, avoiding any of the main gates or roads.
That's easily answered. Come over here, Inspector. Now, there's your map of Sandown.
Yes.
Now, up here to the northeast is Westrum, and there are quite a number of the trainers are there. You see, it's only 7 miles away. Now, a car would leave the race course through this opening here between the trees.
Yes.
Cut through this ground. A bit bumpy, but easy to do. And that would take one on to the old dirt road. Good heavens, yes. That way, one would come out by Simpson's racing stables.
That's interesting. Very interesting. Now, supposing you had to go to Simpson's stables, is that the route you'd take?
Well, most certainly. It cuts off about 4 miles. Imagine the traffic after a Saturday afternoon's racing one took the main road.
Yet Simpson... I see. Simpson wouldn't want to drive his horse box over that bumpy road.
No, of course not. Not with an expensive animal like Gay Wastrel in the box. Now, I come to think of it, I remember Bayliss asking me to look at a yearling he'd bought at a sale. We left the race course and took that old road.
It gives us a lead, but also a headache.
Oh, why?
Well, our highly efficient X-Branch will have to check on the movements of a lot of people. People who left the race course.
Including me.
Including you, Giles. No, but quite seriously. Whoever did this thing will be concerned to establish his alibi. What about the winning jockey, for instance?
Leatherby?
Yeah.
I saw him leave with Bayliss.
You did you? What time was that?
Well, you were there, Inspector. Oh, no. You left a few minutes before. Soon after we all toasted the winner in the steward's room.
And you say the jockey left with Bayliss?
Yes. But listen, Inspector, I don't know what you're thinking, but Leatherby used to ride for me when he was an apprentice. I'd stake my reputation on the fact that there's no straighter jockey racing.
Oh, you may be right, Giles, but Bayliss left about 3, and he's found dead 2.5 hours later. I'm going to have a word with Leatherby.
Mr. Bayliss?
Oh, I don't know anything about the boss's death. Why question me?
Because I'm hoping that Mr. Bayliss did or said something in your presence which could give me a lead. You would want the murderer caught, wouldn't you?
Yes, of course.
You didn't say that with any conviction.
Well, listen, Governor, I don't know why you've come to see me, but I don't know anything about it, see? Well, I hardly knew the gent. This is the first time I rode for him.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is. The trainer, Mr. Simpson, booked me for the ride.
He did he? I understand that after the unsaddling and the awarding of the cup and the drinks in the steward's room, you and Mr. Bayliss left together, is that right?
That's right, Inspector. It wasn't long after you left. I remember you going.
What time was that?
Oh, I'm not sure. About 3:30, I suppose.
Where'd you both go to?
Well, I had no more riding engagements that day. Mr. Bayliss told me that if I won, he'd have a nice present for me. He said he'd meet me at the members' lounge. Well, when he saw me ready to go after the steward's drink, he said, I'll come with you. Well, he came with me to the members' lounge. There was no one there, and he said, I'm glad we'd settled our differences. He gave me a cheque for £200 for winning the race.
Differences? What differences?
Well, that's something rather personal.
Don't be a fool, Leatherby. He's been murdered, don't you understand? You're involved.
Now, wait a minute. You don't think that
all I say is, just be completely frank with me. What were the differences about?
Well, sir, I was offered the mount on Insulated. I was about to accept when Mr. Simpson said that Mr. Bayliss would like me to ride Gay Wastrel.
Go on.
Well, sir, I knew the breeding of Gay Wastrel. I knew she'd had the beating of every other horse, so I agreed to ride the filly. And Mr. Bayliss seemed very pleased. He said to me, I want you to win that race.
I want you to win that race more than anything in the world. I've never had a big win. Look, if you're first past the post, there'll be an additional 200 for you.
Whew. Thank you, sir. If she's anything like Mr. Simpson says she is, she'll win easily, sir. I believe she broke the course record in her trial gallop.
Ah, that's quite true. I'm glad you're taking them out. Very pleased indeed. They tell me that you know the course better than any other jockey. That's a very tricky man at the fore, you know.
I know it, sir. But I'll win, don't you worry.
I see. But you said there were differences.
Yes, sir.
Well, speak up. What were they?
Well, sir, I don't like to tell tales about the dead.
What were they? Come on, out with it.
Well, Inspector, about a week ago, Mr. Bayliss sent
me. I've been hearing some disconcerting rumours concerning Mr. Dawes's filly, Insulated. They say she's developed a sensational turn of speed.
Oh, don't you worry about that, sir. They're a different class. Well, there's nothing in Insulated's breeding that comes anywhere near.
Supposing I told you it would be worth £1,000 to you if you didn't win the guineas.
Are you asking me to pull her up? I've never pulled an horse in my life, Mr. Bayliss, and I never will.
You see, I'm in somewhat of a spot. Ah, the devil take him. Are you sure? Are you sure, as Simpson, that Gay Wastrel has the beating of the others, even Insulated?
Yes, sir, I'm sure. I'm absolutely positive. Of course, if there's heavy rain.
All right. Just forget what I've said. You go in there and win.
That's all I meant, sir. Although he asked me to pull the race in the beginning, he turned out to be a true gentleman after all.
So you got your cheque for £200 as a reward for winning on Gay Wastrel?
Yes, sir.
And then what happened?
Well, as I say, we were in the members' lounge.
Another drink, Weatherby? Oh,
no, thank you, sir. Got to watch me wait, you know.
Excuse me, Mr. Bayliss.
Aye, what is it?
You wanted on the buttons.
Oh, thank you very much. Excuse me, Weatherby.
Thanks for the tip. £2 on it.
Oh, glad you won. I had quite a few quid on her myself. So I can't understand why she started at such a good price. There must have been a fortune on Insulated.
Oh, there was. Ginger Jack and Punch from Mr. Dawes said he himself put £1,000 on Insulated at 5-1.
I knew I had the measure of Insulated. As soon as I called on Gay Wastrel, I could have won by 3 lengths, even more.
Yeah, I'm afraid I've got to go. I'm wanted rather urgently. Oh, Stuart here. Here's the wee celebration for you, too.
Thank you very much, sir.
I'll see you at the Tudor room tonight, Beverly.
With your wife, of course.
Thank you very much, sir.
Walked out and I never saw him again.
I see. He didn't tell you where he was going or who he was going to meet.
No, sir, he didn't.
Everything that I've been so far confirmed my suspicions. I decided to put off questioning the man I suspected of the murder until all the other ends were tied up. I had another word with the helpful Mr. Giles. Giles, I understand it's a rigid rule that no outside telephone calls can be connected to members or even owners other than extremely urgent ones.
Yes, that's right. If a doctor is wanted urgently or someone attending the race meeting has a relative who's met with a serious accident, then they're the exception to the rule.
Well, then what happens? Do you put the call through to wherever they may be on the course?
Oh, no, that lends itself to a lot of abuses, particularly racing malpractices, you know. No one's allowed to talk racing on the telephone.
But Leatherby tells me that Bayliss received a telephone call whilst they were drinking in the members' lounge after the race.
Well, it must have been an internal call. That's allowed.
Oh. Is that easily checked?
Oh, yes. We're not on a dialing system, you know.
Does that mean that anyone on the course can telephone anyone else on the course?
Oh, good heavens, no. As a matter of fact, it's a privilege afforded to us stewards, owners, and such like.
What's the procedure?
Well, one goes along to the switchboard, which is at the back of the general office, and asks the favour of being put through to the weighing room, the members' lounge, and so on.
Use much?
Oh, no. As I say, we don't like to encourage this sort of thing. But if you want to find out any more about that, Mr. Godley was on duty. He'd have taken the telephone request.
I see. Thanks, Charles.
Now, how's the investigation going?
Fine. With a bit of luck, the case will be closed within a matter of hours. Come in. Ah, Sergeant Smith.
You're right, sir. This fellow Godley remembers Mr. Dawes, asking him to raise Mr. Bayliss in the members' lounge. He says that Dawes spoke to Bayliss for quite a while, and this fellow Godley remembers him well, because he gave him a 10-bob tip.
Ah, for once, generosity will contribute to the hanging of a man. And what about the car park attendant?
The attendant says that Dawes took his car out of the owner's hangar at about 4:20 and left by the north gate. That leads onto the old road.
And that leads to Simpson's Stables, right? We've got enough. Ask Mr. Dawes to come and see me.
Right, sir.
Dawes was summoned for 2:30 the following afternoon. In the meantime, X-Branch and operations were getting out all they could. Within a few hours, our informers and special agents had unearthed very interesting pieces of information. There's no doubt that using intermediaries in the underworld and those in gambling circles, Dawes had attempted to bring off a gambling coup. He'd wagered thousands. Had Gay Wasteful lost and Insulated won, his gain would have been astronomical. Had Bayliss double-crossed him? I was soon to know.
I don't know why you sent for me, Inspector.
Well, I'm checking on everyone's movements. Where were you at 5:30, the time when Bayliss was killed?
Well, you know as well as I do that the last race wasn't run until 5:20. It was on the race course.
Can you prove it? Were you with anybody?
Inspector, you obviously know nothing about racing. All of us are lone wolves. We occasionally have a drink with each other. There were over 60,000 people on the race course. And do you expect me to produce them all as alibis?
You swear you never left the course?
Could you imagine I would, with the last race not yet run?
Why did you telephone Bayliss?
Now, what do you mean?
And why did you take your car out at 4:20?
Haven't
you paid your debts? You lost a lot of money on Insulated, didn't you?
Well, that's my affair.
So he double-crossed you on Gay Wasteful, eh? Didn't you think for one moment that the reason he decided to run the race straight was that he had a conscience? That he might report you to the jockey club?
Report me? You must be mad. It was his idea. He got me to put a fortune on Insulated, so that he could get the generous odds of 2-1 on his own filly.
What a dirty trick.
Yes. Yes. The respectable Mr. Bayliss. Why,
are you confessing, Mr. Dawes? Because if you are, I must warn you that any... He didn't confess then, but he did later. There's no doubt that his allegations were correct. What Leatherby regarded as a change of heart in the owner of Gay Wastrel was really a change of approach. Bayliss realized that with Dawes and his gambling promise plunging all the money on Insulated, he would get very good odds on his own horse, and that would pay him to run the race straight. A nice piece of double cross, but cost him his life. Dawes gave me a semblance of a clue soon after the race. Do you remember how he gave himself away? Well, listen to the commercial, and I'll be back to tell you. What was it that Dawes said that registered with me to the extent that I felt he was involved? It was this. After the unsaddling, Scotty said, "I'll hook the Tudor room at Claridge's for a celebration tonight. You're all invited."
Strangely precipitate under the circumstances.
Why strangely precipitate under the circumstances? Surely, as a favourite, he anticipated he was going to win and made arrangements accordingly. Unless he was not supposed to anticipate a win. So I found Mr. Dawes's remarks strange under those circumstances. And the moral, racehorse owners, never interfere with a jockey riding, lest you get pitchforked into trouble. Good night.
The Epic Casebook was produced by Michael Silver for the makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Maple Margarine, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, and Niblet's Cheese Twists, with Hugh Russ as Inspector Carr. Listen again next Thursday night at 9:30 to another exciting story from our Epic Casebook.